Keep all of our travelers in your prayers, including them. We have a number that are enjoying our last three-day weekend for a while with pretty weather, and I know we have just quite a few that were able to get out of town and enjoy that, and we pray that they'll have a good trip and a refreshing trip as well. I wanted to continue this evening about the text that we were looking at this morning about preparing the heart and the importance of that in our lives. I want to just go back and read another passage along those lines of the parable of the sower, but from Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, talking about all the different things that can happen, Jesus concluded with others like a seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Now, I think the most obvious way to look at that when we look at the idea of it returning 30, 60, 100 times is that as we go through our life, if we use God's word in the correct way, that we'll have influence over numerous souls in our life, and we'll provide a return that way. But there are also other ways that we're going to have a return. I think one of those ways is in our blessings. I don't know how you would really be able to calculate how much better your life is from following God, from applying His word to your life, but I would say that anybody who's ever tried to walk without God and without Christ, and then has walked with God in Christ, applying their word to their hearts, to their lives, there is such a significant difference that it's hard to even calculate how much better that life is. And so as we talk about the increase, it's not only souls, which I believe is probably the primary point Christ is trying to get across, but also in relationship to the quality of our lives and the blessings that God will heap upon our lives, or maybe a more accurate way of saying that is allowing the blessings that He's already heaped upon everybody's lives to be able to expand. And certainly He does bless Christians in an additional way other than just the typical blessings that everyone enjoys while they're here on earth. I wanted to look at one family in particular as far as what it means to prepare the heart to receive God's word, and specifically to prepare the heart to seek God's word so that you can receive it. And I want to start with a passage in 1 Samuel chapter 13. I think everyone is familiar with the history of Saul and how Saul was chosen by God to be the king of Israel after the Israelites asked for a king, even though they already had a king. They had God as their king, and he had his rulership set up in such a way that he gave the message not only through the word, but also through the prophets and through the priests, and that was the way he wanted it. But the Israelites wanted a king so they could be like the other countries, so God, I believe, in a very intentional way, selected a man who looked like a king to the people. And so he got Saul. And if you'll recall, Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites, I assume the average Israelite, in height. So he looked impressive. And that's what the people were looking for, was somebody that would be a figurehead to show how mighty and powerful Israel had become. They could look at their king and say, look how wonderful we are. We have a king just like everyone else, and look how fine our king is. Well, Saul, that's about where it ended. While Saul had courage from time to time, he also displayed some very poor judgment from time to time. And this particular situation was pretty much the last straw as far as the last chance that God gave Saul. And what was happening was the Philistines were gathering to fight Israel. The armies of Israel were starting to disperse. And Samuel had set a time that he was going to come and offer a burnt offering, a fellowship offering, before they engaged in the battle. And 7 days had passed, the time set by Samuel, and he hadn't come. So Saul decided, I'll make the offering myself, something that was forbidden for him to do. And so let's pick up there in verse 10. Talking about Saul, it says, just as he had finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. You ever get asked this question by a parent or another authority? What have you done? Saul replied, when I saw the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time. Notice how Saul immediately points out that the fault is everybody's but his own. It's the men who are cowards, they're scattering, and it's your fault for not coming at the exact moment that I thought you would come. When I saw that you did not come at the set time, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. This is another one of Saul's common characteristics. When he sins, he attributes noble motives to his sin. And God never accepts that. Verse 13, Samuel passes that along. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You've not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. And this is the point I wanted you to really notice. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Now, we talk about that a lot, about David being a man after God's own heart and the importance of that. But there's also a very strong implication here that Saul is not a man after God's own heart. And because Saul is not a man after God's own heart, he loses all the blessings that he would have otherwise had. There's a passage that's found in Malachi that talks about what can happen to us when we stop seeking God with all of our heart, when we stop applying His Word to our heart because we're just too hard-hearted. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1, God has Malachi give this message to the priests. He says, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not, look at this past part, take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Even the good that we have, the blessings that we have received from God, if we don't take His word to heart, He'll curse it. This is one of the reasons why I think we need to have some sort of attention to what's going on within our community, within our families, within the church, within our community, and within the nation. Because we have blessings in each of those areas, certainly in our personal lives. But our families are blessed when we put God's word in and implement it as it should be. But we have to have it on our heart, or our families will lose the blessings that they've been given. They'll turn into a curse. It's the same for the church. And that's a serious thing to treat in such a shabby way the body of Christ. And so we have to be on guard about that. Our communities, whether we're talking about the schools that our children go to, or just the towns and the area we live in general, we need to be paying attention to. Our nation has an incredible abundance. When you talk about natural resources, when you talk about natural protections, we have two oceans that protect us from enemies and from outsiders and those that might want to do us harm. There's an awful lot of wonderful blessings that we enjoy. The reason I bring that up is because there was a lot of blessings that the Israelites enjoyed because they were God's chosen people. And now God is saying to them, and He's talking directly to the leaders, He said, this commandment is for you. If you don't take it to heart to give glory to my name, I will send a curse on you and curse your blessings. I think everybody just about heard about the curse of the lottery. I remember the first time I ever heard the curse of the lottery. I wonder, what are they talking about? Somebody wins the lottery and that's a curse? And then you start looking at people that win the lottery. You see what they do with all that money. That money ruins them because so often that money becomes their god. You can't serve two gods. So even a fine person, if they're trying to do both, is not going to work. And so often those who win the lottery end up buying things they don't need. They end up quitting their jobs. They end up getting a very high expectation in their lives of whatever suits them, whatever they see that they want, they buy. Then they get bored and they start turning to alcohol and drugs and all sorts of immorality. And before you know it, they're a bankrupt drug addict. Happens all the time. They call it the curse of the lottery. Well, here is a curse that God says is going to happen to his chosen people if we don't take his commands to heart. When we talk about making sure that we're applying the seed to our heart, when we make sure that we don't have weeds growing around it, or that our soil is shallow or just downright hard, God's serious about that. Because he has a way of turning even the good things that we enjoy into an incredible curse. As a matter of fact, wealthy nations that turn away from God typically get overrun because other nations around them see the good stuff they've got and they want that. And when you lose the Lord's protection, you become easy prey. It's not just for nations, it's for communities, it's for churches, it's for families, and for your personal life. So this warning to take to heart his commandment is serious, because if we don't, there's a curse. That's what Saul found. Saul had been made king of Israel. That's a fairly important position. His entire family was going to be blessed. They were going to be established for all time, God said. But Saul decided not to take God's commandments to heart. And because Saul was not a man after God's own heart, God was going to choose a man who was. Now think about David's lineage, the one whom God was going to choose. We could go back a whole lot of generations, but let's just go back to Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. And you think about that with Naomi being married and her husband dying, her two sons marrying and both of the sons dying, and Ruth, one of her daughters-in-law, pledging herself to Naomi to go with her. Remember what her comment was? As far as your God will be my God. And Ruth genuinely meant that. And she was a righteous woman because of it. When they came back to Naomi's hometown, there was a righteous man named Boaz. And everything we read about Boaz, it just speaks to his righteousness. And Boaz married Ruth. And Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. And you remember the account of that? When Obed was born, they placed him on Naomi's lap. Naomi, who had lost her husband and her two sons. And they said, Naomi now has a son. And Naomi raised Obed, or helped raise Boaz and Ruth to raise Obed. Well, Obed was Jesse's father. And while we're not told much at all about Obed, and we're not told just a whole lot about Jesse as far as the way he conducted his life, what we know about Jesse is he had a son that out of all the sons in Israel, God said, this is a man after my own heart. So there must have been something to the way that Jesse and Jesse's wife, we don't read a lot about her, anything about her, well, a little bit about her, but not much, but there must have been something about the way they raised David to be a man after God's own heart. And so that's what we have. The Lord is going to seek out a man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, he goes to meet that man. He goes to the household of Jesse. And Jesse brings out all of his sons. And he starts with Eliab. In verse 6 of 1 Samuel 16, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Have you ever noticed how old habits are hard to break, no matter how poor those old habits have treated you in the past? They just had a really fine-looking king, a kingly man, and it didn't work out at all for him. And here, the first one that is trooped out before Samuel, he sees Eliab, and apparently Eliab is a man's man, a fine figure of a man. We're not told a lot about him, except for when he comes out, Samuel sees him, and he thinks, this has got to be the man. Because of his appearance, Samuel, who should have known better, thought that this would be the man that was after God's own heart. And I love this passage right here because it really speaks to the way that we need to conduct our life and the way that we need to consider others and our life. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is the key, isn't it? This is why when the Word of God, the seed, reaches fertile soil, a good and noble heart, that it produces so productively and so abundantly. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking to see if you have a good and noble heart, one that's after His own heart. And so God had David selected, and Samuel indeed anointed him. Now go down through the years. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. We read the instruction that now David, the man after God's own heart, gives to his son Solomon. He says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek Him, He'll be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever." You remember the parable that we looked at and the types of the soil we looked at this morning. The soil that was the path was so hard that the seed could not penetrate it. Of course, that stood for those who have a hard heart. Well, that was something David was not going to take a chance with as far as raising his son, because he knew his obligation in preparing the soil, preparing the heart of his son. He understood what it meant to train a child in the way he should go, even though Solomon hadn't written it yet. He was saying this to Solomon. And of course, Solomon was inspired to say, "Train a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it." But David raised Solomon well. It wasn't until Solomon got older that he departed. It's kind of interesting to watch Solomon, because he is an excellent example that when we talk about the four different types of soil, the hard soil, the soil on the path, the soil that is in the rocky places where it doesn't have any root, the soil that is surrounded by the weeds or the thorns and chokes out the seed's productivity, and then the good soil, the soil that produces a great crop. Well, Solomon started out with the good soil. He did have wholehearted devotion when he started. God loved Solomon. As a matter of fact, one of Solomon's names was Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. And God blessed Solomon in so many ways, and Solomon had a strong heart and a strong start because he had wholehearted devotion. But as the years went by, something happened, and God describes that. In 1 Kings chapter 11, in verse 4, it says, "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been." There's a lot to this, because sometimes we think once we've had a good start, we're done. We hear all the time, "Once saved, always saved." We hear things like "You can't fall from grace." You hear all sorts of things like this. But that's never been the case with God's people. He has always required faithfulness from the beginning to the end, and He will not bless us until we begin to be faithful. And if we ever cease that faithfulness, there will be a curse. As He said in Malachi, "I'll turn your blessings to curses." And that's what happened with Solomon. He took all the good things that God had given him, his wealth, his power, his protection, and it turned into a curse, not only for Solomon, but for his entire family, and in fact for the entire nation, because his wives turned his heart after other gods. And the reason his wives were able to turn his hearts after other gods was because his heart was not fully devoted to God. He had let the weeds grow up in his life. That's one of the greatest, I believe, cautions that we need to have in our lives. We start out good, and then the weeds start to grow, and we get distracted. We start thinking about this project here, or this wealth over here, or these things that we can do, or we start letting bad things get in the way. Great difficulties, bad health, people mistreating us in one way or another, and we start letting the weeds separate us from God. That's what Solomon did, because he sinned by taking many wives from countries that God had commanded the Israelites and the kings not to take wives from. And they turned his heart away. Even though he had more wisdom than any man before or after him, they were still able to turn his heart away from God. There needs to be a caution for us. the reason it's so important to prepare the soil and then to keep on with that preparation and tending of the soil is because the soil is our heart. And if our heart goes bad, our lives go bad. It affects lots of people. Well, we looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, what happened to Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Solomon, who had been given everything, who had been told by his father, if you'll seek the Lord and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, that God was going to take care of him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you, is his exact words. But apparently Solomon does not pass that on to Rehoboam. Rehoboam doesn't even look like he had a shallow heart. He just looks like he had a hard heart, beginning to end. Solomon failed Rehoboam. And it continued on through the generations. 1 Kings 15, verse 1, in the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijah became king of Israel. Abijah was Rehoboam's son, Solomon's grandson. In verse 3 it says, he committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. If you know anything about the history of Israel, you'll see this. When David became king, Israel became blessed. When Solomon was a young king, Israel was blessed more at that time than at any time, possibly with the exceptions of a few years of some of the later kings. And then when Solomon fell away, the nation began to be cursed. And the reason was because they went from good and noble heart to a heart that was divided, to a heart that was hard. How important is it for us to prepare the soil of our hearts and the soil of the hearts of those that we're responsible for? And the answer is, it's vital. It's the difference between blessing and curse. Let me close with one more passage. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 29. In verse 10, Jeremiah is talking to them about what's going to happen with the captivity after Jerusalem is destroyed by fire, after the parents eat their own children in the siege and are carried off into captivity. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. God does not set before us blessings and curses because somehow he's arbitrary and because he doesn't like us and he just wants to toy with us. God loves us. And he's saying to these people who he is going to put through terrible punishment and then captivity for 70 years, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you. That's what God has for us. Even when we are at the depth of our sin, the hardest part of the hardness of our heart, that God will bring us back. And he has plans to prosper us and give us hope if we'll just turn back. Verse 12, you'll call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. Look at this. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Are you preparing your heart to receive the word? And are you preparing the hearts of those you love? Invitation's open tonight. If you need to respond, won't you come while we stand?